This
for
conference
conducting.
will now be recorded.
Okay, well, that was one of my announcements. A voice just cut in saying that the conference is going to be recorded. And in accordance with the governor's executive order regarding public meetings held via teleconference, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on CHESL's website within the next week. So in the past, the minutes have been posted. This will be, what gets posted on the website will be the actual recording. So every word and every comment and exchange will be recorded and posted on the website. I think we've had everyone identify themselves so we know who's on the call with regard to board members and our advisors. Could I ask the CHESL and chief of staff to identify themselves so we know exactly who's there and who we could ask questions of?
Jeanette Weldon is here.
Miss Allie Rose.
Shannon Reynolds.
Robert Blake.
Deborah Galley.
Tara Stewart.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, are there any other members?
Is Josh there? Is Josh there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Are there any other members of the public who would like to identify themselves? Okay. And because there's no public comment on today's agenda, thus no members of the public will not be permitted to speak during the meeting, with the exception of CHESL consultants and professionals. And lastly, in accordance with the governor's executive order regarding meetings, regarding public meetings held via teleconference, board members, CHESL consultants, and professionals must state their name and title before speaking. So for the record, we will always know who is making a particular comment or asking a question. So are there any questions with regard to the ground rules that that will govern this meeting? Okay, hearing no questions on that, first item of business is approval of the minutes from March 3rd. And
Marty Budd, I move. Marty Budd, I move acceptance as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
This is Steve Kitowitz. I'll second.
Okay, so Marty Budd has moved it. Steve Kitowitz has seconded. Are there any changes, corrections, or edits to the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the minutes of March 3rd as proposed, please say aye.
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 Aye. Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Okay, thank you very much. The minutes are approved. Next item of business has to do with the CHESL Advisory Board. We have a nomination to add a gentleman, Lou DeLuca. I'm going to turn it over to Josh and ask him to speak very briefly about Lou's background and experience and what he might bring to the Advisory Board. And then this is an action item. So once Josh is done reviewing Lou's background and experience, I'll ask for a motion to accept the recommendation. So Josh, could you please give a quick review of Lou's background?
All right, thank you, Peter. So Lou DeLuca is the coordinator for student financial literacy and advising at Southern Connecticut State University. He is a seasoned enrollment manager with 25 plus years in private and public college admissions, financial aid, and financial literacy, including experience with advising, teaching, athletic recruitment, and consulting. Southern Connecticut was ranked the 9th best financial literacy program in the nation by LendEDU for 2019. I have also personally known Lou for years on the board of directors for Connecticut Jumpstart and through CAPFA. Lou was also a part of our working group in developing the CT Dollars and Cents website. We believe Lou will be a great asset to our advisory board. And I also know Julie knows Lou well as well.
Okay. Okay. Is there a motion to accept staff recommendation to add Lou DeLuca to the advisory board?
Marty Budd.
Julie
so
Savino.
Okay,
Julie Savino, second.
Great, and Marty Budd moved it. Thank you. Any further discussion? Questions for Josh? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting staff recommendation to appoint Lou DeLuca to the Chesil Advisory Board, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay. The bond issue. Could I turn it over to Jeanette, please, to give an intro into the bond resolution?
Yes, thank you, Peter. And the materials are in your board packet, but we are going to start with a brief overview of the transaction, which Tim Webb of Hilltop Securities, our financial advisor, will provide. And then that will be followed by Joe Santoro of Bank of America, who will provide an update on market conditions. So, Tim, do you want to start off?
Sure. This is Tim Webb with Hilltop Securities. Thank you, Jeanette. Thank you, Mr. Chair. What you have in front of you are some resolutions with regard to potential offering of new money bonds as well as refunding bonds in connection with CHESLA's in-school program and refi program. What's contemplated is in this 2020 issuance are four series of bonds. 2020A would be a taxable piece used to finance new refi CT loans. The 20B portion of the bonds are in relation to new money in-school CHESLA loans. And then the C and D portions of the issuance are to refund the in their entirety the 2009 and 2010 bonds that are currently held under the 1990 trust. This transaction contemplates the Series A and Series B. As I mentioned, a taxable piece and a tax-exempt piece would be issued under the 2019 indenture. As you recall, that indenture was created last year with the issuance of a similar type of transaction with a taxable piece and a tax-exempt piece. The tax-exempt piece would be subject to AMT. It's anticipated that the structure of the new money and the taxables would be very similar to what we've used in the past. On the Series C and Series D bonds, we're looking to refund on a non-AMT basis the 2009 bonds and the remaining portion of the 2010 bonds. The 2009 bonds are callable now. The 2010 bonds are callable in November. So it's anticipated that we would issue refunding bonds with a what we call a forward, where we would settle essentially in August on the 2010 bonds. You may recall that student loan bonds are private activity bonds, and you are not allowed to advance refund those. They are refunded on a current basis. There are three different tax treatments here. Again, the taxable bonds on the A, $5 million piece, 21 and change as AMT bonds for the Series B, and then the Series C and Series D would be non-AMT bonds. Right now, the market is dislocated. We had anticipated coming to market with a closing date prior to April 23rd. I believe the schedule had us scheduled for April 22nd. Right now, there's a dislocation, and we're not really able to go to market. At this point, I think I might turn it over to Joe Santoro with Bank of America to give a market update on where things are, not only in the tax-exempt world, but also markets in general.
Thank you, Tim. This is Joe Santora from Bank of America Securities, head of our education finance team. I just say that I hope everyone there, and the Chesil staff and board, and stays healthy as we all deal with these unprecedented times. As Tim mentioned, the markets are certainly dislocated, and we are seeing this across really all markets. We see the headlines every day, what's happening in the equity markets, but the fixed income markets really saw pretty much have stopped functioning on the primary market. Secondary trading is continuing, and we're looking to find a level. Do want to applaud the actions that the Federal Reserve has taken, really aggressively rolling out facilities to help in this avoid a liquidity and crisis that would potentially be occurring. We are seeing spreads both for short-term and long-term municipal, corporate, asset-backed securities all rising to levels we really haven't seen since the financial crisis. But again, the Federal Reserve with the last Friday opening up the money market liquidity facility for municipal securities, that should very much help on the short end of the municipal curve. And then we can begin to build a market from there. There's similar action being taken in rolling out term asset-backed loan facility or TALF in the ABS world, and that's helping. And that should help, as it did in 2008 and 2009, in that space. And so we are encouraged by the actions of the Fed to help restart this market. At right now, again, the B of A is active. We do have our traders and people in the office. We have a backup facility actually in Connecticut where half of our trading staff is. And we will be there as the markets open and aggressive, and we are supporting our clients in secondary market trades. But with each day that goes by, certainly last week we just saw levels continue to increase. Just for an example, right now we are at the 10-year MMD, which is MMD is a tax exempt general obligation. AAA level that a municipal entity might have in the market. The quoted rate as of yesterday was 2.79. So it's actually 200 basis points over where a 10-year treasury is. In a normal environment, that should be a percent of where treasuries are. So clearly, we are seeing not just a look at credit or a concern on credit for municipal entities, and there's good reason to think with, all the changes that are happening, that is some aspect of it. But there's also a liquidity issue that's impacting this market right now. So it's, the actions that the Fed has taken, and I think we'll see a stimulus bill coming up here soon. These should be helpful. And then we can see the market start to repair. I personally am optimistic that we will see things come back quicker than we did in, let's say, the financial crisis, because this is a health issue that's turned into an economic issue and hasn't yet turned into a financial issue. Whereas 2008 and 2009 was different, and it took a while to come back. So we're hopeful things will come back quicker, and I think the action that Chesla has taken and is before you today is prudent to be in a position so that you can act when the markets come back and there's an opportunity to issue a bond that makes sense and can provide the funding for a competitive loan product.
I'll
stop there.
This is Tim Webb again from Hilltop Securities. I think the last point that Joe made is important. The reason for the resolutions in front of you are to get ourselves in a position so that when the market does come back, we can get into the market and get these bonds priced. We want to be in position so that when things do turn around, which and I feel as Joe does personally, that it will come back more quickly than we've seen in the past. But we need to be in a position to be able to get these bonds into the market. One, to hopefully capture some of the savings that are anticipated with regard to the refunding of the 2009 and 2010 bonds in the 1990 trust, but also to be able to get the proceeds necessary for Chesler to continue to offer its in-school and refi products.
Marty, Bud, I had some questions. Is now the appropriate time?
Yes, Marty, please go ahead.
With respect to the refunding bonds, what is the average interest rate of the outstanding bonds? And it seems to me quite possible that we might issue the refi and new in-school loan bonds, but not do the refi if the market dictates that the savings will not be that great. But at some time this year, we do have to issue refi and new loan bonds, and we might be able to do that in a difficult market, but might not be able to do the refund bonds. Is this A, true, and B, again, what are the average interest costs on the two refundings that we're talking about?
This is Tim Webb with Hilltop Securities again. The 2009 bonds have two term maturities out there at coupons of 4.75 and a 5.05. The 2010s have coupons that range anywhere from a 3.25 out to 5.25. I would agree with you. We would only pursue the refunding to the extent that these were quote unquote in the money and would generate savings. There'd be no purpose for us to do so unless we were to generate savings.
And it's conceivable, I take it, this is Marty Budd, that we might have interest rates that make the refi and in-student loan issues make sense, but not the refi issues, the refunding issues.
This is Tim Webb. It is conceivable, yes.
Thank you.
And this is Jeanette Weldon. And just also wanted to mention that the authorizations that are included in the board package, as we typically do, these are set at not to exceed amounts. So, the amounts are, as we have done in the past, the amounts are most like, are higher than what we would expect to ultimately issue. And as Tim Webb mentioned, what we are seeking with the approval today is the flexibility for management to make the determination about when it's feasible to enter the market with the consultation with its advisors and underwriter. And also wanted to mention, I think when we last spoke about the transaction in the last board meeting, we mentioned that we had a private activity bond cap allocation that was going to expire on April 23rd, and we have submitted a request for an extension of the allocation, and we anticipate receiving a 90-day extension of that allocation. So that's where we currently stand, and so we're seeking approval for the described transactions.
Okay. Marty Budd again, Will you inform the board if we do get the extension of cap as requested, so the board will know that we're at least in a position to have a bond issue? And secondly, can you inform the board when it looks like the markets will be receptive to our bond issues, and that you're thinking of offering them or pricing them in the next week or something like that, so we can be informed of progress, if any?
Yes, this is Jeanette Weldon, and certainly as we determine a date for the financing and it approaches, or once we set a date, we would inform the board, and certainly when we have the official extension of the cap allocation, we can also inform the board of that.
Thank you.
This is Peter Lisi, and just following up on Marty's question and then tying it with something that Joe and Tim said earlier, you know, as we get closer to pricing these, both Joe and Tim used a term, you know, when the market comes back. For those of us that did not make our living in the financial markets, could you put a little bit more meat on the bones, so to speak, of that comment? I mean, what sort of quantitative or what benchmark, I mean, in both of your mind, I mean, what's going to determine when, quote, the markets are back? I mean, is it a yield number that we're looking at? Is it, I mean, what do you, could you just explain a little bit more about what you mean and how we will know as board members that the market is back, so to speak?
This is Tim Webb again with Hilltop. When we said that there was a dislocation in the market, there's effectively no market right now for the new issuance of tax-exempt bonds. There have been very few deals getting done in the marketplace. People with both competitive transactions and negotiated transactions like Chesla does every year, they had come to market, or they're thinking about come to market, and there were just no buyers on the other side. Nobody is getting any deals done. You know, we're seeing huge backlogs of deals trying to get done. And when deals are being priced in the primary market and then also in the secondary market, there's price discovery. You're able to see what other people are pricing their bonds at, where investor demand is. So you're able to see on, you know, maturities with similar rated credits, what the various spreads are to whatever indice you're utilizing. Right now, none of that exists. So when the market comes back, we would anticipate seeing issuers come to market where they have a buying group out there of investors, and we're able to make a determination of what the spread should be on this particular credit, Chesla, backed by the SCAR for the state of Connecticut. Until we have that price discovery, we're not in a position to be able to price the bonds. Okay. I'm sure Joe can provide a little additional color, but that's a quick take on it.
No, that's very helpful, Tim. I have a much better understanding of what you're... Jeanette and I have had a couple of conversations about this, and she's referred to it as the market being frozen, and I guess you just described what she has referenced and talked about a few times with me. So thank you. It's very helpful.
You bet.
Are there other discussion points or questions for Tim, Joe, Jeanette, anyone on the Chesla staff? Are there further questions on what the board is being asked to approve? Okay, well, hearing none, I would ask for a motion then to accept the staff's recommendation for the 2020 bond issuance and acceptance of the resolution. Is there a motion?
This is Steve Kitowitz.
I'll move it.
All right, I heard Steve move it. Was there a second?
Yeah, Ben Bond.
Sherry Mailhot, I'll move second.
Okay. And Sherry seconded. Are there further questions, discussion items, points of clarification? Anyone like to raise anything further with regard to the approval of the 2020 bond issuance?
So Peter, this is Judith Lang speaking from Dave Pitney. Let me just jump in. There are two resolutions.
And they,
one
do they,
for bonds.
Go ahead.
So I was going to say one, the first one in your package was for bonds issued for the refi program and the in-school program. So I'm assuming that's what you're acting on right now.
This is Peter Lisi. Are you saying that we need two separate votes then, Judith?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the first, Denise, are you there as well?
Yes, I'm here, Peter.
Denise, would you like a corrected motion for us to be voting on, or was the prior motion sufficient?
So it would be a motion for the 2020 Series A and B supplemental resolutions.
Okay. Would someone like to move the Series A and B supplemental resolution?
This is Steve Kitowitz. I'll move that.
Okay, we've got that moved. Is there a second?
Sherry Mailhat, second.
Great, thank you. All right, further questions? All those in favor of accepting staff's recommendation on the authorizing resolution for Series A and B, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Okay, thank you very much. Now I'd like to move on to the authorizing resolution for the Series C and D. Is there a motion to accept?
Sherry Mailhat.
Julie Savino, so moved.
Okay, we've got Sherry and Julie moving and seconding. Are there further questions, comments, discussion items on this recommendation for authorizing resolution for the Series C and D? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Okay, thank you very much. Next items of business have to do with program manual. Jeanette, would you like to walk us through those changes quickly, please?
So the next items have to do with making a modification to the program manual to provide for management discretion in connection with forbearance provisions. And so, and this is something we're seeking in order to give us greater flexibility as we try to respond to the COVID-19 crisis and be responsive to the needs of our borrowers. And so, Josh, do you want to describe the current forbearance provisions that we have as they exist today?
Sure. So this is Joshua Chesla. Currently, the financial hardship forbearance policy is an initial 2 months that can be approved by the servicer, and then subsequent 2 month increments that need to be approved by Chesla, up to a cumulative maximum of 6 months.
And this is Jeanette Weldon again. Also, during the forbearance period, interest continues to accrue and then it becomes capitalized, as in it's added to the principal balance of your loan. And so what we wanted to have the flexibility to do in the event that we are able to get dollars from some outside source, you know, whether it's the state, the federal government, or whomever, such that we would not have to accrue and capitalize that interest amount, we wanted to have the flexibility to do that. So that's why we're adding this extra sentence that says the provisions of the section may be modified at the discretion of the executive director, and meaning that we would be able to modify that accrual requirement if we have another source of money. So that's an example of the type of thing that we want the executive director to have the flexibility to achieve.
Okay. Before this discussion, is there a motion to accept the staff's recommendation for the manual change for the CHESL loan program?
Julie Trevino, so moved.
I'm sorry, Peter, this is Denise. We have two separate votes.
Right.
For the in-school, one for the refi.
Right. The first one is for the in-school, and then the next agenda item and the next change is for the Connecticut, the refi CT. So this one is just for the CHESL loan program, the in-school.
Perfect.
Correct.
All right. Okay.
Okay, so we've got a motion and we'll second it. Are there any questions for Jeanette or the CHESL staff with regard to this change to the program manual and the recommendation?
This is Deb. Excuse me. Could you please repeat who seconded that?
Who's the second on this motion?
I'll do it. It's Ben Barnes.
Okay. We've got a second from Ben. Any further discussion? Further discussion on this? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Aye. Are there any abstentions? Okay. Thank you. The motion carries. Jeanette, would you like to address the refi CT change?
Sure. So it's the same change for the refi CT program manual to add that management's discretion to have flexibility on the forbearance requirements.
Same thing. So, is there a motion to accept staff's recommendation on the CHESL refi CT loan program program manual?
Julie Savino, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Steve Kiewicz, second.
And we've got a second. Are there any questions for Jeanette or CHESL staff on this motion? Discussion, questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next item, Jeanette, Executive Director's report.
Yes, I wanted to mention that we've been working closely with our servicer to make sure that they are prepared for what could be, you know, perhaps additional or a higher volume of forbearances than what we typically see. And so we've had conversations to make sure that they are prepared, that they are in a position to work remotely if necessary. And Josh, do you want to speak to their approach to processing forbearances?
Well, yeah, I'll first give an overview of Campus Door and UAS and how they're handling their COVID-19 response. So for Campus Door as the originator, all systems are a go as their employees work remotely. They have updated their interactive voice response for the phones. The applicants will be encouraged to self-service, email, or leave a voicemail that a seasoned member of the contact center team will return. And Campus Door is planning to have someone from their senior team pop into the office briefly 3 times a week to check mail and handle certain tasks. From a servicer standpoint, University Accounting Service, UAS, all their employees are currently working remotely. In terms of handling forbearances, CHESL is allowing UAS to automatically process 2-month hardship forbearances over the phone should a caller mention coronavirus. We are also waiving the requirement for a form to be filled out. Typically, when a hardship forbearance, we would have them fill out a 1-page form Again, we are waiving that requirement and allowing UAS to process this if somebody requests a forbearance over the phone. UAS will also be is sending me a spreadsheet of process forbearance requests on a daily basis. Currently, we have 20 borrowers that have requested a forbearance, and that would be over 52 loans. The UAS call center is in Amherst, New York. Obviously, New York State has been shut down, but the New York call center is still taking calls because the UAS New York call center agents are working remotely. Should anything else occur that would impact the New York call center and its agents, UAS does have a backup call center that would be available for Chesa callers, and that backup call center is located in Brookfield, Wisconsin.
Josh, this is Marty Budd. How many forbearances did you first mention forbearance requests, and out of how many clients is that number? I think it was 20.
Yeah, 20 borrowers, and those 20 borrowers have 52 loans.
Have 52 loans
total. So some borrowers have three, some have one. Of those 20 borrowers, that totals 52 loans in forbearance for COVID-19.
And how many borrowers are under that program now?
Under the Chesla program or the COVID-19?
Chesla program. What is that? 1,000 borrowers, so it's only 20 out of 1,000, or something like that.
I know on for the total number of loans in our in-school portfolio, I believe it's like 10,000 loans. So, 52 loans out of 10,000. It's a very small percentage.
Good. That's what I wanted. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, Josh. And the other thing that I wanted to mention as part of the executive director's report, it actually is unrelated to the current crisis. It's an initiative that we began a few months ago. And that is we are looking at partnering with RISLA, which is our counterpart in Rhode Island, and with regard to the development and rollout of an employer portal, which would enhance our employer outreach efforts in connection with, if you recall, last year, a law was passed giving a tax credit to any employers who pay down the principal amount of a Chesla refi loan. And so we are trying to, it has not become effective yet. I believe it becomes effective January 1 of 2022, but we're trying to use that and take advantage of this lag time to do some employer outreach and further build the portfolio of refi loans. And so RISLA, which is similar to Chesla in that it's a state-based, you know, nonprofit lender, but it's different from Chesla in that they're not restricted just to a Rhode Island nexus. They're actually national. They're much bigger than Chesla in terms of staff and also the types of products that they offer. And so they approached us with the fact that they are developing, or they have developed, an employer portal to provide a back office function for processing employer pay downs of staff student loans. And as part of that portal, there's the opportunity to identify for those employees loans that it might make sense to refinance. And so the concept is that Chesla would be the entity that refinances the loans of any employees who live in Connecticut. And then RISLA would refinance the loans of any employees who do not live in Connecticut. So this portal could be marketed to companies that are in both Connecticut and Rhode Island, or companies that pull employees across the border, and we would be able to provide refinancing and then for the Connecticut residents, and RISLA would be able to offer this processing portal if the employers also want to use that. So just wanted to make mention of that initiative, and hopefully it's something that we can continue to move forward, you know, despite current events.
Okay, great.
So that's all I had for the executive director's report.
All right. This is Peter Lisi again. Are there any questions for Jeanette? Okay. Is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward this morning? All right, then I'll just remind everyone our next meeting is scheduled for June 25th. And is hearing no other business, is there a motion to adjourn for today?
So moved.
This is Steve Kidwitz. Move.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed?
Aye.
Are there any abstentions? We are adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Everybody be safe.